Digestive Disease Week. And as you guys know, the new normal is there's Zoom. Yeah? Can you guys see me? No? Our technological assistant didn't change you. There we go. All right. So the new norm is we do hybrids. We have meetings where there's people here and there's people there. And it's a good reminder, I'll just say, that we are the church. There's one church, and small c, Catholic, you know, one universal church. And when we're meeting today, when we're meeting with you, we're all one church. And the meetings that I went to in San Diego, there would be like an auditorium with 500 seats, and there'd be about 100 people in there. But then the speaker would look, and there's 248 people online, you know, and they're asking questions online and stuff because it's all digital. But above and beyond that, there's the whole church, right? I mean, we're all worshiping today across the whole world. And that's kind of, you know, and you guys probably know this, but in the old Christian, the old Jewish church, 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, even before Christ and during Christ's time, the priests went through the Torah. But they went through it in a methodical way so that whatever temple you were at, you were doing the same part of Scripture. So if you were in Jerusalem or if you were in Galilee, in Capernaum, they were doing the same Scripture, much like the Catholic Church does today. But it took 3 years to get through it all. But the whole church was going through it at the same time. So that was kind of cool. So we're all going through, you know, the church. So today, you guys remember when Peggy used to do the cassettes? I used to try to give her a label for my cassette, and today is God Loves You. God loves you. Yeah. So I think I can do this without glasses. The distance, if I do glasses, then I have to do this, and if I don't, then I'm good. Long arms. So I told you guys I've been memorizing verses, and I've been memorizing Psalm 23, and Sandy gets to hear it a lot. I say Psalm 23 in the morning when I wake up, and I say Psalm 23 at night when I go to bed, and it's been really good for me. And I don't just say it, but I let the Holy Spirit speak to my heart and get little phrases. So, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. El Señor es mi pastor. And we were talking about the difference between es and estar in Spanish. And es is permanent, and estar is temporary. El Señor es mi pastor. God is permanently mine, and I am His. He is my pastor, my shepherd. He knows me by name. He leads me. He guides me. And we all know that we are like sheep who have gone astray. And He says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Everything you could ever want can be found in Jesus Christ. God says He will provide for all your needs. He cares about Pharaoh, and He cares about you. He makes me lie down in green pastures. It's interesting because we see the shepherd guiding me to the green pastures, and then He commands me to lie down. Right? He leads me here and He leads me there, but He makes me lie down in green pastures. He wants us to rest in His provision. There's a Bible teacher named Ray Vanderlaan, and he goes to the Holy Land and he teaches the scriptures from there to bring them alive. And he's teaching about the green pastures. And it's really interesting because when I think of grazing sheep, I'm thinking about, you know, fields in North Dakota or whatever, just barley and wheat everywhere. Well, that's not the way it is in Israel. It's a desert. And the sheep are not grazing on the fields of food. That's for the people. The sheep are grazing in the desert. And the shepherd knows where the patches of grass are. And so they graze on these little patches of grass, and the shepherd makes them lie down. Why does He make them lie down? Well, He makes them lie down because we don't know how far it is till the next little pasture. You need your rest. You need your provision. And guess how much God gives you? Just enough. He gives you just enough. And what does that make you do? that makes you trust in the shepherd to bring you to the next pasture. He leads his flocks to these patches of food and makes them lie down. So he gives them just enough to make it to the next patch. He then leads me by the still waters. So we need to drink. Water is needed for life. But water can also represent trouble and chaos, especially to the readers of the Psalms originally. They were Hebrew. And remember, water represents the chaos of creation, right? And the Hebrews, you know what, there's no ocean in heaven, right? Because there's no chaos in heaven. There's just calm. But he leads us by the still waters. He restores my soul. Think about that. It's a great, great promise. Have you ever stopped for a moment, a day, a year, to consider your soul? Has anything ever gone wrong in your life because of the choices that you've made? Have you ever stopped to confess all your sins to God? Do you know that you need God to restore your soul? Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God." Do you know who that's talking about? Did you ever take that personally? It's talking about you. It's talking about me. When we humble ourselves, when we acknowledge our sin, when we empty ourselves and come to a place where we say, "God, I can't do it on my own. I need you to help me." We come to our own strength. And then we are poor in spirit. Then we know what David is saying when he writes, "He restores my soul." He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. When we follow the shepherd, when we rest in his provision, when we have eaten and had drink, and our souls are restored, he leads and we follow. The path of righteousness is found only in Christ. And he leads us, why? For his name's sake. We were created for his glory, not ours. We don't have to make our own plans to bring glory to God. We only have to follow him wherever he leads. He loves us and cares about all the details of our lives. He leads us in the right direction. Our desire is glory. There is no room for selfish ambition. Only to God be the glory. Now, we know that we sometimes find ourselves walking in a path that doesn't quite seem right. But if we're following Jesus, all is under control. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The word "yea" isn't used real often anymore, but it means yes, truly, indeed. Sometimes we find ourselves walking through valleys in life, valleys dealing with a season of illness or a season of death, valleys of turmoil in the family or at work, valleys of our own personal struggles, the ones that few people even know about. And these valleys may seem like they are in the shadow of death, very nearly going to kill us. But we don't have to be afraid. God loves us. He's with us always. He cares about us. We don't have to fear the evil. We don't even have to fear the evil that is in us and the evil that is in others and the evil that is clearly in this world. Where do we find our comfort? In the rod and the staff of our shepherd. The shepherd can use the rod to remind the sheep to stay on the trail, and he can use the rod to beat off the enemy, if a wolf or a bear comes around. We can imagine our shepherd gently tapping us to get us to stay on the trail. Come on. We can also imagine that some of us don't respond to gentle tapping. We need a little bit more of a firm hand. But we also can imagine the shepherd using the rod and the staff as a weapon to protect us from the enemy. Remember, we are sheep. We are relatively defenseless animals. But the shepherd cares for us, each one of us. And he's constantly watching his flock, making sure that not one is lost. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Have you ever felt like you're different because you're a Christian? Maybe at work, or at school, or maybe even in your family. The shepherd says he has prepared a table, a meal for you in the presence of your enemies. Feed you and sustain you. There's no need to fear, no need to run. Just enjoy what God has prepared. You anoint my head with oil. So to anoint is to bless. Makes us smell better too. To sanctify, to set apart. And God does this to us and for us. And he does it abundantly. My cup runs over. Like if you're buying a cup of flour and it's filled to the brim and going over the sides. A full portion, an abundance, more than enough. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one that trusteth in him. And the address for that is Psalm 34, verse 8, that we just sang. And then also, Isaiah 43 reminds us of God's love and his protection, which is always with us. Starting with verse 1, but now thus says the Lord, who created you, O, and he who formed you, O Israel. So let's stop for a moment and just write our names in the scripture to make it more personal. But now says the Lord, who created you, O Kip, and he who formed you, O Kip. When we slow down as we read and study God's word, we can make things personal. God is speaking to each of us individually. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. That sounds very personal to me. God speaks to each of us. Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have brought you out of slavery to sin. I have paid the price. I didn't just call a group of people. I have called you by your name. You are mine. I have found that it's very difficult to memorize scripture. It's a lot of work. But I'm convinced that it is important. God gives us his word. We can trust him. We all have things in our past that tell us we're not good. We have sins that maybe we have trouble believing they can be forgiven. We have things that trouble us from our past, maybe even when we were kids, that still cause frustration. We tell ourselves we're okay, but we haven't let them go. God's word teaches us that God loves us. He redeems us. He's called us by name, each one of us. And when we memorize scripture, we can remind ourselves daily of his promises. We can let our mind dwell on good things, pure things, and not dwell on work or the world or death or sin. I'm still working on some others, but when I do try to memorize them, I'm spending time with God and I'm meditating on them. I'm following the shepherd. Isaiah 43 verse 2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Notice the verse doesn't say if, but when you pass through the rivers and walk through the fire. This will happen in your life, and this has happened already. And God says, I will be with you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for you, for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place, since you are precious in my sight. You've been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. As I was pondering this verse, I really wanted to focus on God and not on me. It's like the first line of Psalm 23. How do you read that? The Lord is my shepherd? Or the Lord is my shepherd? They're both fine. They're both good. But I want to make sure we focus on the Savior. We are precious in His sight, and He does love us. He gave Egypt for a ransom and Ethiopia and Seba in our place. He gave men for us and people for our lives. Finally, we come to verse 6 of Psalm 23, and we sing it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely, certainly, and in Spanish, por supuesto. This is going to happen. This is a good reminder when we go through a troubled season in life. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Let your mind dwell on this. We can all think this. That's pretty easy to think about, goodness. But we don't always understand mercy. Remember, mercy is a gift. We don't deserve mercy. King David asks for mercy in Psalm 51. He says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And these follow me all the days of my life. And then consider the privilege we are given to be able to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God the Father has prepared a dwelling place for His children, for the bride of His Son. We can tabernacle with Him now and forever. Do you love God's house? David did. He says so in Psalm 26, verse 8. He says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. And of course, David tells us this again in Psalm 27, 4. We all know, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I ask, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. We are blessed to dwell in the house of God. Praise Him for this privilege. When we have God's Scripture memorized, we can call it to mind any time of day. It becomes more real to us. When we have an extra minute or two, we don't have to be impatient with nothing to do. We don't have to get ticked off because people are making us wait. We can practice our Scriptures. We should repeat the ones we know, and we should keep working on the new ones. And I generally have a 3x5 card or two in my pocket that I just pull out and work on my verses. God's Word is so deep, and you can get new epiphanies every day. And Sandy has to listen to my new epiphanies that I get almost every day. Sometimes you'll stop, or you'll see a phrase just a little differently than you have ever seen it before. My encouragement to you all is to embrace God's Word and take a new verse this week. Write it out. Say it out loud. Meditate on it and let the Holy Spirit open it up to you. Even if you choose John 11:35. Why did Jesus weep? What was he weeping about? Is it important that Jesus wept? I think it is. When we weep, we say, oh, Jesus wept too. So we have a Savior who understands us. Amen, and God bless you all.